We want to celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight, and I want to do that in just a few moments, but I want you to take your Bibles tonight. I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We will continue our look at 1 Samuel in the coming week, but with communion, I want to take a moment to reflect on the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we participate in communion, we are mindful of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to walk through a couple of things with you. I was speaking with staff members, I think it was this week or maybe last week, about the nature of the conversion testimonies that we have in the Word of God. I mentioned this morning that we have a unifying factor in all of our lives, and that unifying factor is the Lord Jesus Christ. As we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we've come from a variety of backgrounds and a variety of experiences, a variety of cultures and countries and languages and people groups, but we have a unifying common denominator, and it's the Lord and what He has done for us. And I'm glad that when we look at the Scriptures, it's not all cookie cutter. We have the opportunity tonight to look at several different testimonies, and I want you to think along these lines tonight. I want you to think of your own testimony as it relates to when Jesus Christ saved your soul. For me, it occurred on a Wednesday night in April of 1976. And I was headed home that night from church, and I asked my dad, I said, you know, I would like to know more about salvation. And so we got home that night, and my dad took the word of God and showed me how I could know for sure that I was on my way to heaven. And I'm so thankful for a mom and a dad that not only lived the Word of God, but that also wanted their children to know and to live the Word of God as well. I wish that I could say that I've met the challenges that they would have had for my life. But I am so thankful that they gave of themselves that I might know the truth of the saving grace of the Lord. So my testimony is from an early age of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that Jesus saved me. But now let's go to this passage. And if you would turn to Mark chapter 2. I want to do a little bit of traveling tonight. We don't normally move to this many different passages. But I want you to see the varieties of ways that people came to know the Lord. And perhaps we look at these individually, but I want to kind of tie them together, and I want you to be thinking yourself about the time frame in which you were born again. Do you understand tonight that it is a point in time? Just as I would say that I was born on a certain day in a certain year, and I came into this world, and there's a point in time that I was born physically, you ought to have that same testimony of your spiritual birth. And the Bible says you must be born again. You know, I'm thankful, and my mother's especially thankful, that I don't say to people when they ask me, when were you born? Well, between this year and this year, or between this number of dates and between the first of this month and the end of this month. Can you imagine what that process would be like for a mother to give birth? No, it's a time frame in which a child is born into this world, and they set that time, they look at the clock, they say this child was born at 5:11 on such and such a date, and they mark the time. Now, folks, I want everybody here in the auditorium to know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. Has there been a time in your life where you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, no, Pastor, I'm in the process of salvation. No, it's just like physical birth. There's a point in time. And there's a point in time in which you are brought out of the family of Satan into the family of God. We've sung so many songs tonight related to the family of God and to the nature of adoption. And you can tonight be brought out of the family of Satan, and you can be brought into the family of God. Well, I want you to see these different passages and different individuals that came to Christ, and I want you to reflect tonight as to how and when you were born again. Mark chapter 2, if you'd look there with me, Mark chapter 2, beginning reading in verse 1. Here's the first testimony of an individual that came to Christ. And again, he entered into Capernaum, speaking of Jesus Christ, after some days. and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Can you imagine what it was like for this man to rehearse when he got saved? Guys, I couldn't walk. I was lame. And I had four friends that let me down through a roof. And I wondered what they were doing. I wondered what path this was going to take. And on that day, I not only was physically healed, but I was also spiritually healed. Imagine this dear one as he reflected on the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to John chapter number 4. John chapter 4. I won't read all of these testimonies in total, but I'll highlight a few of the verses related to some of them. Here's this one born of four, and he is miraculously healed and miraculously saved. What it must have been like to hear him give testimony of the day that he met Christ. If you go to John chapter 4, this is a much longer story. We find an interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ and the woman at the well. As Jesus is dealing with her and bringing her to an understanding of biblical salvation, she's getting into an argument with the Lord about the nature of real worship. And so the Lord walks through so many different things with her, but in the end, we find in verse number 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? What a testimony from this woman. Again, I hope that as we walk through this, that you can imagine what heaven will be like as everyone gives the same recurring testimony, but from different avenues. We all rejoice in the fact that we are there because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But man, it will be awesome to meet this woman and to hear her testimony. Do you know what I was before I got saved? Do you know about the conversation that I had with the Lord Jesus Christ? And what a statement, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? John chapter 4, the conversion of this woman at the well. What it must have been like to be able to hear her testimony as she would convey to others about the saving grace of the Lord. Would you turn with me to John chapter number 9? John chapter number 9. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And so much back and forth between this man, and there's so many lessons in John chapter 9. Again, it's a very lengthy story. It runs throughout the chapter. But I just want to pick up the reading with the final interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning of the chapter, the Bible says that a man is born blind. And the disciples say, Who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And the Bible tells us that he heals the man. And then there's a long, long interaction because people don't believe that he was once blind. I think that there are so many lessons from what he went through physically to what he went through spiritually. When you save the old drunkard, when you save the old drug addict, when you save the old woman of the night, and everyone has an assumption of what they expect from the old drunkard, and he comes in and he's no longer drunk, and now he's in his right mind, and he gives testimony on the day he met Jesus Christ. And there is a back and forth in this chapter like none other. And even though this guy looks the same and acts the same, he can now see and nobody believes that it's really him. They don't believe that this was possible. But he comes back, he comes full circle, and he meets the Lord Jesus Christ after all these other interactions. What did you look at verse number 35? Jesus heard that they had cast him out, speaking of this man. And when he found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. You see, he didn't see the Lord in the earlier verses because the Lord touched his eyes and told him to go wash. So he never laid eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But now he's interacting with Christ again, and look what the Bible says. And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. It is amazing how many times in the scriptures that we see physical healing and spiritual healing tied together. There's a scenario that's brought about where an individual was in dire straits, in physical stress, and they are healed physically, and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually. If I could insert a plug for medical missions, we have a number of different individuals in our church that have participated in medical missionary opportunities around the globe. And it is amazing at how many of them will come to a tent and they will receive eye care or tooth care or some other kind of wound or they have some other kind of issue. And they will receive care physically and they'll go into a secondary tent and someone will give them the gospel. And they say, "If that's the one that sent you, then I want to know him." And we see that here in John chapter 9, and he said, "Lord, I believe." Take your Bibles, go back with me to Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23, a passage that we looked at just a couple of Wednesday nights ago in our look at Calvary. So we have the one born by four, he meets Jesus Christ. What a testimony it must have been to have him share with others what Jesus had done in his life. John chapter 4, this woman goes to the well because she seeks water that she might be sustained for that day, but she meets the one that gives out eternal water, and she's never the same. She goes back immediately to the city and tells those people, "Come see a man." John chapter 9, the man never laid eyes on Jesus Christ until the whole thing came full circle. And Jesus said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And he said, "I believe." Luke chapter 23, look with me if you would at verse number 39. This is the testimony of a man that only people in heaven have ever heard. You thought about it that way? No one else was going to hear the testimony from this man on this side. He had no opportunity to go back and tell his brothers and his sisters. He had no opportunity to go back and tell his mom and his dad. He died on that cross. And the Bible says in verse number 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." He recognized the sinlessness of Almighty God. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He recognized that Jesus was the only one that could do anything for him. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt thou be with me in paradise. I said this on that Wednesday night a few weeks ago. What appeared to be this man's worst day wound up being his best day. He met Jesus Christ. It does put me in mind of Brother Jim Agnew's father just a few years ago, who with his dying breath received Jesus Christ as his Savior. It is why we say over and over again, while there's breath in your soul, trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. This man in his dying moments looked to the only one that could change his eternal destiny. Again, folks, in the matter of moments, his eternal destination of a certainty in hell was changed, and he was on his way to heaven. And what it must have been like when he's received home in paradise and sees the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, if I could insert this as well, the other thief on the cross paid the price for his own sins. So on that day, two thieves died, but there was a difference in what God had done in the one's heart. And so there was a change in his destination. Would you go to one more with me tonight? Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter number 9. Imagine that these individuals gather around a testimony time, and a pastor were to say, go ahead and share your testimony tonight as we reflect on the Lord's Supper and we reflect on his salvation that has been provided for all. Imagine that the first one pops up and says, listen, I was afflicted with this palsy and I could not walk, but I met Jesus. Imagine a lady were to stand up in the congregation and give her testimony and say, I was afflicted with this terrible matter called sin in the flesh, and I was going my own way, but I met Jesus Christ. Imagine another one that said, I was blind, and I met Jesus Christ. Imagine another that says, I was within moments of dying in my sins and going to hell, but I met Jesus. And then Acts chapter number 9, if you would, look at verse number 1. And the Bible says, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Would you look at verse number 18? And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Again, can you imagine what it would be like to be in a church service and have all these kinds of testimonies pop up? I was this, and Christ saved me. I was in this condition, and Christ saved me. I was in this dire strait, and Christ saved me. You know, when I read these stories, I think to myself, well, my story is not really that exciting. I mean, I shared it with you just a few moments ago, and none of you leaped to your feet and just said, "Amen, praise God." You know, none of you did that. But you know, it took as much to save me as it did all these others. Because we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a wide variety. I haven't even begun to touch the hem of the garment of the myriad of different testimonies that are in the Bible. There are many. And they're just as varied as the five or so that I've looked at. But they ought to continually challenge each one of us and to bring joy to our hearts and to cause us to rejoice at this time frame in which we consider the body and the blood and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it were not for him, there'd be no reason to meet tonight. If it were not for him, there'd be no reason to continue on with life day after day. It would all be in vain. If it were not for him, there would certainly be no hope for eternity. But because of the time that we spend tonight around this table, we recognize that Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ lived, and Jesus Christ died that we might be saved. Now, if there is anyone tonight that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to meet Jesus tonight. The Bible tells us we're all born in sin. The Bible says that our sin deserves a punishment. But the Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It could be the youngest of children in the audience tonight. It could be the oldest of the adults. I don't know, but that there's not a thief on the cross in our midst tonight. Someone that is going to go into eternity before tomorrow. Don't leave this life without making preparations for the next. Christian, can I encourage you tonight? Never become callous to Calvary. Well, I don't have that fancy testimony. I don't have this glorification of how sinful I was when Jesus Christ saved me. As the old gospel number is sung, when he reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. And praise God he did. I want to have a time of prayer tonight, and I want to draw our attention to the Lord's Supper as we begin and participate in this time together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to reflect on these testimonies of salvation. They've been recorded in your eternal word. And what a blessing it is to see how these people were saved by faith through grace. Each one of them trusted you for their eternal life. And I'm so grateful tonight that you're still in the saving business. You would save anyone that would come tonight. You would save them from their sins if they would but acknowledge that they are sinners in need of a Savior. There are no magical words. There's no magical powder. There's no magical water that can wash away sins. It is a transformation. It is a heart transplant that occurs supernaturally when a person recognizes their sin and repents. and simply by faith believes in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. In the quietness of this moment, would you draw men to yourself that they might be saved? I pray that Christians would reflect, even in this moment and in this time, would reflect back to the day that they got saved. That tonight they would rejoice that their name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. Never to be blotted out, never to be erased. As we come to this table, Lord, I pray that we come with deep reverence and recognition of the shed blood and the body that was given for us to be redeemed to a holy God. I pray that you would be honored in this time of the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name I pray.